السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا، اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما، آمين يا رب العالمين. الحمد لله. I'm so grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're starting the sixth juz today. الحمد لله. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all steadfastness. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Inshallah, we're going to cover ayat 148 to 151 of Surah An-Nisa today. Let's begin. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. La, not, yuhibbu. He loves. Hubban is the root word, and that means love. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. So yuhibbu, he loves, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-jahra. Al means that, and jahra, declaring openly. Bisu'i, be with, al means that, and su'i, evil or bad. Min, from, al-qawl, the speech, illa, except, man, whoever, zulima, he was wronged or treated unjustly. This comes from zulm, and that means injustice. And zulima is passive, so it means he was wronged or treated unfairly. Wa and kana, he is, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sami'an, this is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sami'an, one always all hearing. Aliman, one always all knowing. This is another attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it comes from ilm, which means knowledge. So he is aliman, always all knowing. In, if, tubidu, you disclose. Bada means to show or reveal. Da in the beginning means you. Waw alif in the end tells us this word is plural. So tubidu means you all disclose or you all reveal. Khayran, any good. Aw or tukhfuhu. Da in the beginning means you, and waw after the word ikhfa is the root word here, which means to hide. So waw at the end of that tells us this is plural. So tukhfu, you all hide or you all conceal. Hu, it, meaning any good deed that you do. O, or da'afu. Da'afu comes from the word afu. Afu means to pardon, to forgive. Da in the beginning means you, and waw alif in the end means it's plural. So da'afu, you all pardon. An, from or about, su'in, an evil or bad. Fa'inna, fa then, inna indeed, Allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kana, he is a full one, always all pardoning. This is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the next one as well, qadiran, always all able. Okay, so he is all powerful. Inna, indeed, alladhina, those who, yakfuruna. Kufr is the root word, and kufr means to disbelieve. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So it means they disbelieve. Billahi, be with or in, Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa and rusulihi. Rusul is plural for the word rasul, which is one messenger. Rusul means messengers. He, his, wa and yuriduna. Arada is the root word here. Arada means to want, to desire. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. An una ending makes this word plural. So yuriduna, they want or they wish. An, the, yufariku, they differentiate. Farak is the root word. Faraka means to part, to differentiate. Okay, you in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and waw alif in the end means it's plural. So it means they differentiate. Baina, between Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa rusulihi, and his messengers, wa yaquluna, and they say. And this word comes from qul, which means to say, or qul, which means a statement. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and una makes this word plural, the word the suffix una. So wayakuluna, and they say nu'minu. This word comes from iman, which means to believe, to have faith. Nun in the beginning means we. So nu'minu, we believe, be with ba'din, some. Wa and nakfuru. Kufr is the root word here, meaning disbelief. Nun in the beginning means we. So nakfuru, we disbelieve or we deny, bi ba'd, be with ba'd, some others. Wa and yuriduna. Yuriduna, they want. This is a word that we covered already above. So yuriduna, they want. An, that. Yattakhidhu. Yattakhidhu comes from the word khudh, which means to take. Okay, ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. So, and waw alif in the end means this is plural. So yattakhidhu, they take. Baina, between. Dhalika, that. Sabila, a way or a path. Ulaika, those. Hum, they. And since the hum is followed by al-kafirun, which comes right after it, and it means the disbelievers or those who disbelieve, hum does not only mean they, it means only they, okay, or they alone. Al-kafiruna, the disbelievers or those who disbelieve, haqqa, in truth or reality. Va'atadina, wa and atad, prepared, na, we, lil-kafirina, for the disbelievers. Lil means for, li means for, and al means the, kafirina, disbelievers, adaban, a punishment, muhina, one humiliating or disgraceful. Alhamdulillah. That's it for the word meanings for today. And now we are going to start the ayat, inshallah. The tafsir of these ayat. Okay. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Okay, so inshallah, today we are going to cover a very important topic. The first ayah begins with the words, La yuhibbullahul jahra bisu, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like evil words to be uttered. This means that sometimes people say things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not approve of. So let's start. La yuhibbullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love, meaning he does not like. So people who love Allah start listening up very closely after they hear this, because they want to know what it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. And in the last juz, we learned about the different kind of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love. Right? We learned about the stingy people, or those who show off and they boast, and the sinful people. We learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like them. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about something that He does not like. Al-jahra. The declaring openly, or saying out loud, clearly, bisu'i, of the bad, the evil. Speaking to people nicely, or about something good, as we're instructed to do in the Quran, is hasana. Right? That's a good deed. But the opposite of that is su'i. Okay? And that means to say something bad. We'll learn what's on the list of the bad things people say. Okay? There's a whole list of things that people say that can be considered su'in. Okay? Min al-qawl, from the speech. So out of things people say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like it at all when people say bad things openly, when they say bad things loud and clearly. And this happens when people say something bad about someone, or when they say something that is bad itself. Allah does not like that. For example, if someone curses or says something disrespectful or rude to someone else, or they say something that hurts another person's feelings, or something bad about another person, it is all su', it's evil. Or if someone uses bad language to say something, or they say something bad, something negative, something shameless, or they tell jokes that are not appropriate, those are all ways of saying bad things openly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like it when people say such things. Illa, except. There's one exception listed here. Ma dhulima. Someone who is truly wronged. As for that person, he can mention it to someone and complain about it. That does not count as gossip or backbiting or saying something bad about another person, because that person was wronged. Now, this is something we must understand properly. Okay, we have to understand how that person can complain about it and who they should speak to. Okay, so first of all, we're told not to say something bad out loud or openly. And it's very easy to slip and do this nowadays due to social media, okay? People mess up. They don't mean to at times, but they just make a mistake and they post something that they can't really take back. In the past, people did not have access to technology that enabled them to announce things openly to so many people all at once. But now it's so easy for people to post bad things about other people, or slander people, or gossip about others using social media. And they get their message out to so many people all at once. However, this ayah clarifies that it is not allowed. A lot of times people post things claiming that they're exposing somebody, and they say that they're spreading awareness so others know what's going on. But that's not a good thing when it's done to tell everyone about something bad someone did. It's not good. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to hide the faults of the believers, to cover up each other's faults, not to expose them. So we have to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover up our faults on the day of judgment if we hide other people's mistakes, the faults of other people in this life. So we cannot point out other people's mistakes or say something to other people about someone who has done something wrong. We can't be talking about it. Just because we found out or saw someone do something does not mean we have to tell other people. If we mention to others what we saw that person do, that is jahra bisu. So anytime we're about to say something like that about someone, we should just remember la yuhibbullah, that Allah does not like it. And that should be enough to stop us. Because anyone who cares about what Allah approves of or not is careful not to say anything to upset him. They stop right when they are about to say something that Allah doesn't like. As soon as they remember la yuhibbullah. If we think about it, there are so many times we don't say or do things that our family members don't like, because we know that they don't like those things. And we only do things they do like. And a lot of times we also care to do things that other people like. Okay, because we care about la yuhibbun nas, what people do not like. But do we really stop and think about what Allah does not like? If we don't, we have to care about it. That should be our priority. Okay, to think about what Allah likes and what He does not approve of. And if it is something that He doesn't approve of, we should stop right there. So one thing we just learned is su. Okay, an example of su is how people openly talk about the faults of others. That's an example of su in, of an evil. What other people do wrong when people sit there talking about whatever it is that other people are doing wrong, that is also jahra bisu. A few examples of this is posting negative things about people on social media or saying things about them in a gathering when there's a bunch of people sitting there, or gossiping about in-laws with family members. A lot of women tend to go to their families and gossip about their in-laws, or a lot of men do that. That is all jahra bisu. Not only are we supposed to hide what other people do wrong, we're not supposed to announce it when we do something wrong ourselves either. Okay, we're not supposed to admit it. We're not supposed to talk about it openly. Okay, because talking about our sins is bad. When we do that, we are letting people know that we think it's okay. Okay, even though it's not okay. Just because we did something wrong does not mean it's okay. So we should not be talking about it as if we're proud of doing it. Likewise, we shouldn't talk about sins that go on around us. We're not allowed to keep spreading that information, whether it's something indecent people may be doing or something else that is wrong. We should not tell people about it. But it's common for people to sit there and talk about all the bad things going on around them in society. And the sins that many people are caught up in, they sit there and discuss those things. Allah does not like it when we mention such things. And that's because people get used to hearing about sins. Okay, they get so used to hearing about the whatever sins we're discussing, and then they slowly start to accept them. Because they're constantly hearing about them, or they see them take place all the time. They see them happen. So they don't think it's a big deal anymore. Okay, so they don't think of it as a sin, even when it's something really bad. And some people are even inspired to go and commit that same sin as a result. So we're not supposed to talk about sins. When people watch movies or shows that include bad language or sinful things, they become used to hearing and seeing those things. And even when they hear about bad things from each other, people can become used to those sins and start taking them lightly. And sometimes even imams who talk about sins that people are commonly committing during a lecture or khutbah, if they address those sins, they end up informing others about sins that they were not even aware of before. There were always some people in society who have done bad things. All throughout history, this has happened. But we can't just keep talking about the sins that go on around us. If we keep mentioning sins all the time and the bad things that happen, people start to think that it's normal to do such things because they're so used to hearing about them. So we should not keep talking about sins. They have such a negative effect on all of us as individuals and the society as a whole. When people openly discuss sins that others are committing, they start comparing themselves to those people. And as a result, they think they're much better than them just because the sins they are committing may not be as big as the ones the other people are committing. So they don't really think they're doing anything wrong. Even though it is wrong, whatever they're doing is wrong. They can't take the sins they're committing lightly just because they are smaller compared to what the other people are doing. And a lot of times, they think it's acceptable to do certain things that are bad because everyone is doing them. They think everyone is doing it, even though only a few people may be involved in those sins. All the good things people do are hidden because people try not to show off. And the bad things, they are exposed when people keep talking about them, when they keep repeating the same stories over and over. It sounds like so many people are doing those things when that's actually not true. So we must avoid discussing those things. The next thing on the list is something we should not talk about, and that is fahsha, things that are fahsha, meaning indecent things. If you read something indecent or you see something shameful by mistake, something indecent, there's no need to go and tell others about it. We should not be the ones who collect trashy news and spread them. So we shouldn't go and tell people who don't know about whatever we saw. Illa man zulim, except for the person who was wronged. That's different, of course. So that person can say what happened to him because that matter needs to be fixed. And we'll learn about that in a little bit, inshallah. But it's not appropriate to do talk shows or podcasts covering such topics where everything is discussed so openly without any haya, okay, just for the sake of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most haya of all. So He doesn't like indecent things. He is the most decent of all. We have to remember that. Many times women talk about indecent things when they're around other women, and they think it's okay because there's no men there. But it's not okay. And men see indecent things when they are around other men. They don't think there's anything wrong with it because there's no women around. But that is not allowed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not approve of fahsha. Some people enjoy telling dirty jokes, and they feel like they have to tell other people whatever they hear. But that is not how a mu'min should be. Because the true believers are not interested in hearing or telling such jokes. Because mu'mineen like to stay away from things that are indecent. Another way that people say bad things is when they say hurtful things to others, or they use bad language, or they're rude to others, or they curse at them. And it's sad to say that some mothers even talk to their kids like that. But that's not acceptable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not approve of such behavior. Also, it's wrong for someone to laugh at another person and mock them when the other person doesn't like it. If you keep saying, well, I'm just joking around, and laughing at that person, when you know they're saying, when you know that you're saying things to hurt that person's feelings, that's wrong. It's not acceptable to do that. And it's not okay to say curse words during a conversation. If someone copies the way someone else talks or embarrasses another person in front of other people, that is also jahra bisu. Allah does not like it. Another thing on the list of bad things people say is when they invoke the curse of Allah on someone. Only someone who was wronged is allowed to do that. Okay, they can invoke the curse of Allah on that person. But if that person is patient, if the victim is patient, it's better for that person. There was a time when someone stole something from Aisha radiallahu anha. So she started to invoke Allah's curse on whoever stole from her. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard her and he said, why are you making the thief's burden lighter? She was told that she can invoke Allah's curse on the thief, but just as much as the loss she suffered. So he told her, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her not to repeat it over and over again. It wasn't going to help. And if the person who was wronged says it too many times, compared to how much they were wronged, compared to how much the other person hurt them or wronged them, the victim becomes the unjust person. Hassan Basri said, we should not invoke Allah's curse on people. Instead, we should make the following dua. This is a beautiful dua. Allahumma a'inni alayha. Oh Allah, help me against this. Wastakhrij haqqi minhu. And make this person fulfill my rights over him. This is what we should do when someone wrongs us. We should ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help against that person and ask Allah to make that person fulfill their obligations towards us or give us whatever is rightfully ours. Isn't that such a beautiful dua? Subhanallah. So it's Allahumma a'inni alayha wastakhrij haqqi minhu. So the person who was wronged can invoke Allah's curse on the one who wronged him, but he should not exceed in doing so. If that person goes overboard, he becomes the unjust person instead. So we should not talk about someone illa man zulim, except if someone was wronged. So that person who was wronged can tell someone about it, but then he or she should not transgress. If that person exaggerates when telling someone about the injustice that was done to them, just because he holds a grudge against the other person, he becomes the wrongdoer. So that person is only the victim until he talks about whatever happened too much or exaggerates. Okay, because if he does that would lead to him becoming even more unjust than the one who wronged him. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who was cursed at is the victim until he curses back at the other person even more. So if that person says just as much to the one who said something bad to him first, that's okay. But if he says more than that, he becomes the wrongdoer. For example, if a person calls someone a liar, they say that you're a liar. That person can call the first person a liar too. Okay, so you can say back to them, you're a liar too. But he can't add to that and call him other names too. If he does, if he adds another name and calls him that, he becomes the unjust one. So even The person who was wronged should not exceed in retaliation. When someone says something bad to us, we can say it back to them, as long as it's equal to what they said. But if someone accuses us of doing something unjustly, if someone is slandering us, we cannot falsely accuse that person in return. We cannot slander them. That is not permissible. Mujahid, rahmatullah alayhi, writes in the tafsir of this ayah, when someone visits another person as a guest and the host does not fulfill his responsibilities as the host, the guest is allowed to tell other people about it until the host starts to carry out his duties. And in the former times, guests totally depended on their host for everything. And even now, guests have a right to our good treatment. But if someone fails to do that, the guest can talk about it. However, many times, guests are not fair and they're unreasonable. So this doesn't apply to them. If they expect the host to go above and beyond in everything, and that person is not able to do so, they cannot complain about it. For example, if the guest complains that the food is not good enough, that it's not tasty, it's not what they like to eat, or that there isn't enough of a variety of foods to eat from for a meal, or that there was no dessert served after the meal, that's just unreasonable. Okay, so we're not talking about that. But if the host actually mistreats the guest, okay, that they don't honor the guest and they don't bother to serve them properly, that's when the guest can complain. Many times, people have a whole list of complaints after they attend weddings. They complain that the host didn't spend enough time with them, or they were seated at a table where they didn't want to sit. Okay, that they were made to sit somewhere around people that they didn't want to sit. But they have to understand that they don't have a right to do that. That person invited them and made sure that they were served food. That's enough. So we shouldn't be petty and complain about small things like that. A man went to see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complained about his neighbor. He said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my neighbor gives me a very hard time." Okay, so he complained about his neighbor. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Do one thing. Take things out of your house and put them outside." Okay, take some of the things out from your house and put them outside. So the man did what he was told. And whenever someone passed by, they asked him why he was sitting outside with all his stuff. He told them that his neighbor was giving him a hard time and he was just so sick of it. So all the people who passed by said bad things about the neighbor, that he deserves to be punished by Allah for doing whatever he was doing. When the neighbor heard that everyone was finding out about what he'd been doing, about how he had not been a good neighbor, he asked the man to go back inside, and he promised him that he wouldn't bother him after that. So if someone is treated unjustly, they can go and tell someone else about it, so the issue can be resolved. Only when that person tells someone can they come up with a solution to the problem, right? So they have to mention it. So that then that person can even mention the bad things the other person did. Okay? But that doesn't mean that person can openly say bad things to everyone about him publicly. It can only be brought up to someone who can help make the situation better. Just like the man who went to see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to complain about his neighbor. So if anyone tells their teacher or a scholar about their situation, whatever it is that they're going through, it's not considered jahra bisu, because they have to tell them about the situation to seek help. There are people out there who are badly mistreated. Okay, some are victims of domestic abuse, so they would obviously have to tell someone about it to get help. If they don't bring it up to anyone, nobody would actually know what they're going through. Nobody knows that they need help. So that person can tell their family members or someone else who may be able to help them about it. But that does not mean that they should sit there talking about it every chance they get, wherever they go. That's not allowed. They should only speak about it to come up with a solution, not to let others know how bad the other person is. Also, when people go to court to testify, or when they take someone to court, they have to state the truth. Even if it includes bad things they have to say about someone. Okay, it has to be done. So there's nothing wrong with that. Other times when people are allowed to do jehra bisu is when they want a fatwa. Okay, a legal religious decision. Okay, based on religious law, a legal decision about something. Or if they want something, if they want someone else's advice. Okay, they want to know about something. They want to know what someone else thinks about their situation. Okay, so they can mention it. People can't make a big deal of small things to complain about to others, or say that they've been so mistreated, that they were badly mistreated, when it's not actually true. It has to be about serious things that actually matter, and then they can tell people. And it's important for us all to know that if someone asks another person about the character of someone they plan to marry, the person they ask must tell them the truth about that person. That doesn't necessarily mean they should tell them all the details they know about that person, that, oh, I saw him once doing this or with that person or whatever. They don't have to go into all the details. Instead, they can just tell them in a decent way if that person is suitable for marriage or not. And if someone asks for advice about a potential business partner, okay, a business deal with somebody, you should tell them honestly what you know about that person. Like, if you know that that person was someone else's business partner before and he defrauded that person, you should tell the person who's asking you. If someone asks you for advice about someone they know, okay? If someone asks you for advice about someone you know, actually, to see if they should, if it's okay to keep something with that person, to let them hold on to something that belongs to them, if that person is trustworthy. If someone asks you that, you have to tell them truthfully if that person is trustworthy. Okay, if they are capable of holding on to something for them without ruining it or losing it, or cheating them out of it. Or if someone wants to know if they should rent out their house to somebody, and they want to know if it would be a good idea, you have to tell them if you think it's a good idea or not, honestly. Okay, you have to be honest about it. And if anyone asks you about the neighbors of a house they're planning to buy, they ask you how are the neighbors, you have to tell them if there are any difficult neighbors around, because they might give them a hard time afterwards. So anytime you know that the other person may face stress or a difficulty, if you don't warn them about something, you should tell them. And there's nothing wrong with exposing the other person in that case. If someone asks you for advice when they are thinking of appointing someone for a role or a position, or assigning them a responsibility, you should tell them if you think they're not capable of fulfilling that responsibility. Then you can't just stay quiet or keep saying good things about that person because you don't want to say anything wrong. Because others would suffer as a result of that person being selected for the position they cannot handle. And we already learned earlier that a husband and wife should have a hakam from each side, sit down with them and decide what should be done when there's a conflict between them. And of course, the hakam would need to know about the whole situation to be able to help them. But the two parties cannot just start complaining about their spouse when speaking to random people who can't help in any way. There's no point of doing that. The couple should only speak to people who can advise them. Okay? So, another situation when it's okay to mention something bad is when someone is openly sinning. In the case of someone who openly drinks in front of people, or they're involved in fraud or corruption, or they speak against Islam, it's okay to warn others about that person so they can be careful. That would not be backbiting. Also, if someone is known by a description or a more familiar name other than their real name, it's not bad to use that name. As long as you're not using that name to humiliate that person. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when Ibn Adam, meaning the son of Adam, wakes up in the morning, all his limbs defer to the tongue and they say, fear Allah regarding us, for we are only a part of you. If you are upright, we are upright. If you are crooked, we are crooked. Because if the tongue says something bad, the whole body ends up in Jahannam. That's why the body begs for the tongue to be upright. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, if you guard your tongue and private parts, I guarantee you a place in Jannah. Someone asked him how they can protect themselves. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, control your tongue, stay home, and cry over your sins. The tongue is very small, but we commit so many sins because of it. It's the tongue that commits jahra bisu. It's not our other body parts. So it's really important to control our tongue. We've learned a hadith many times that tells us about a person who continues doing everything that leads to Jannah, until he is so close to Jannah. And then one day, he says one thing that makes him end up with the people of Jahannam. And there's another person who keeps doing things that lead to Jahannam his whole life. But one day, he says something that will make him get to Jannah. Because he says something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really likes. So the tongue can lead to success or failure. And that's why we should be extremely careful when we say anything. We can't say whatever comes to mind, because that's how we mess up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to understand this ayah properly and implement it. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ سَمِيعًا عَلِيمًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-hearing and all-knowing. The two Asma'ul Husna of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are mentioned here are connected to what we just learned about. Okay? About the things people say. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears whatever it is that we say. He is all hearing. And He knows what's in our hearts. And how we intend to say something. What intentions we had when we said something. He knows whether someone says something to hurt another person, and He knows if someone mentions something to make another person look bad, or He's doing it to seek advice. He knows everything. He hears and knows all. إِن تُبْدُوا خَيْرًا أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ أَوْ تَعْفُوا عَنْ سُوءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًّا قَدِيرًا. If you do good deeds openly or in private, or forgive an evil, then surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always all-pardoning, all-powerful. The first part says that it's fine to disclose the good deeds you do or hide them. But we learned earlier that we should try to hide good deeds that we're able to do, right? So why does it say that it's okay to disclose them or hide them? The thing is, when it comes to the obligatory or the fard things that are good, it's okay to do those openly because we have to do them. For example, if you have to pray fard salah, you can't think that you can't pray because there's other people around just because you're afraid of showing off that good deed. If you think it's okay to skip that prayer just because others will see you praying, that is wrong. You cannot skip it. You have to pray. Same with other fard acts of worship, like fasting, praying the obligatory zakat, performing hajj. All these things should be done openly so others can be reminded to do them also. But when it comes to the nafl, or the additional acts of worship, like praying tahajjud or other nafl prayer, like giving sadaqah, and lots of other additional good deeds that we can do, it's better to do them in private so others don't find out about them. It should only be done in front of someone if you want to remind the other person to give sadaqah as well. So if you disclose the good deeds you do without the intention of showing off, or if you hide the good you do, أو تعفو عن سوء, or you forgive an evil. As soon as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this, He tells us next, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًا قَدِيرًا, then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pardoning and powerful. So He reminds us that if we forgive people or ignore the way someone mistreated us, He will forgive us. In the last ayah, we learned إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمْ, that people can retaliate for whatever injustice was done to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us permission to do that, to retaliate equally. Like we read that we can take revenge, an eye for an eye, an ear for an ear, life for a life, and so on. But if we forgive the one who wronged us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. And we all want Him to forgive us, right? So we do have permission to seek revenge, to say something back to someone who says something bad to you first. That's allowed. And many times we're tested when we are put in a situation like that. Like, should I say something back or should I just forgive this person? We get confused. We wonder what we should do. If we seek revenge, we won't be rewarded in any way. But if we forgive that person, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam guaranteed that it will lead to more respect. Many people think that if they forgive someone, the other person is going to take advantage of them or they will wrong them even more. But this hadith guarantees that the person who forgives will become more honorable among the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever we read that he was afuv, that he pardoned people and he overlooked their mistakes, their faults. And Allah is also praised for being afuv, because He is oft pardoning, and ghafoor, because He is oft forgiving. When people forgive others, they are also respected more. So they should never think that it would be humiliating to forgive others. If it was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not have been that way. Stopping to think about this should help change our perspective. So forgiving people earns more respect, and it's a good thing to forgive, It makes you more honorable. Doubtful and so, if you forgive, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all pardoning. And He has all the power to forgive our sins. He has the power to turn our sins to good deeds. We have to forgive others when they mistreat us. And it takes a lot to do that. It's not easy. But the reward is so great for someone who is able to do that. Many times, people say that they can forgive someone, but they can't forget what that person did to them. But if they say that, it means that they have not really forgiven that person. Because they end up bringing it up again eventually, one time or another, because they never forgot about it. It should never be mentioned again. That's what afu means, to pardon in such a way that there's no trace of it left behind. SubhanAllah, that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives people. So remember that forgiving someone means that you also forget whatever way they have wronged you or whatever they said to hurt you. We should not hold grudges in our hearts. So we should cleanse our heart out every night. Think that you're forgiving someone for what they said and say, "Oh Allah, forgive me." We can hope for forgiveness when we forgive others. When we do that, when we start to think that we're forgiving someone, so Allah can forgive us, we start remembering about all the sins we've committed. We start thinking about all those sins. And then also, all the sins that we can't even remember or count. Okay, when there are so many that we can't even remember them, we still hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. How can we hope to be so be forgiven when we have so many sins, countless sins, and then we are so stubborn when it comes to forgiving others that we refuse to do that. Just for one thing they did to hurt us, or one bad thing they might have said to us, why can't we forgive them for that one thing when we have so many sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can question us about? We should learn to let go instead of being overly sensitive over small things. And remember, all the ways that people hurt Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by their words and their actions. Think about them. Remember how they tortured his loved ones? They were tortured so badly, and he still forgave them. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us forgive people, because it's not easy. Okay, so we should ask him to enable us to do it. And we should never say or do anything to hurt someone so much that they're unable to forgive us. Because if that happens, that we hurt someone so badly that they say that I just can't forgive you, that matter will be taken care of on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has encouraged people to forgive others here in life and seek reward for it from Him. The next ayah explains why it's important to believe in the messengers as well as Allah. Some people say that it's enough to believe in Allah. And they say that after that, it doesn't matter what prophet people follow. They don't think it should be discussed what prophet people believe in, because differences arise as a result of that. But we have to see what the Quran tells us about this. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. Indeed, those who deny Allah and His messengers, this is something some people also do. They don't even believe in Allah. Astaghfirullah. They deny Him as well as His messengers. وَيُرِيدُونَ. And they intend. أَن يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. To draw a line between Allah and His Rasuls. Okay, so they try to draw a line between Allah and His Rasuls. Of course, there's a clear difference between Allah and His messengers, because Allah is Rabb, He is the Lord, and Rasuls are His messengers. But this part refers to something else, and that is the thinking process of people who say that they will obey Allah, but they refuse to obey the Rasuls. The hypocrites had this issue in the former times. They listened to Allah, but they said that they would not follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was around them, so they didn't value him or respect him the way he should have been respected. They even dared to criticize his decisions about certain matters, and they didn't want to follow him. This happens nowadays too, even though he's not around. People still disrespect him when they say that they believe in the Quran, but they reject the Hadith. When they do that, they differentiate between Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَيَقُولُونَ, and they say, نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ, we believe in some, meaning they believe in some of the messengers of Allah, وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ, and we reject the rest. This is what the Jews and the Christians also say, right? But Muslims are told to say, لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُسُلِي, we do not differentiate between any of His Rasuls. We declare that we believe in all the messengers. Every night we read this. The last few ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, before we go to sleep, we declare this. We respect all the messengers. We cannot disrespect a messenger, because people who claim to follow him disrespect Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can't do that in return. We acknowledge the great ranks of all the messengers, and we believe in all of them. We respect all of them. وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن يَتَّخِذُوا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا, and they desire to take a middle way between belief and disbelief. There are people who say that all religions are fine, since they all teach people to do good deeds. But they say that the Rasuls are the problem, because there's a division among people because of them. They say all the religions are good. They want to follow a middle way. But not everyone is on the right path. And that's why Islam was sent. The Quran tells us that the true religion is only Islam. So how can Muslims say that everyone's on the right path? There's a difference between being good to non-Muslims and saying that we're just like them. We have to be good to them, but we're not like them. The Quran tells us to treat them well, but not at the cost of our religion. We cannot go so far in treating them well that we tell them that we're just like them, that we're all alike, because we all believe in one God. Some Muslims even say that it's okay if the Christians believe in Isa alayhi salam and we believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the end of the day, we all believe in Allah, so we shouldn't bother about the messengers. But that is not acceptable in Islam. And we must remember that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not compromise on deen. The polytheists of his time, they wanted to come up with a solution too. And they said that it would be fine if he allowed the Muslims to worship their idols 1 year, and they would worship Allah according to Islam the next year. They wanted to compromise, but Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not permitted to do that. They thought it was wrong that he was so firm on deen that he wasn't willing to change anything that he brought. They couldn't tolerate it when he kept saying that only what he was sent with was the truth. In the Quran, there are many ayat that tell Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam not to incline towards these things, people say. Our deen clarifies that only Islam is the truth and the rest are all batil or false ways. So we cannot say that everyone's on the right path. Of course, we have to treat the non-believers fairly and care about them. If a disbeliever gets sick or needs our help, we must help them. But we cannot say that their beliefs are acceptable, just like ours. That's not what we're taught to do, because all the past religions have ended. They all expired. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Islam as the true religion, and it must be followed till the Day of Judgment. The Quran tells us that clearly. Therefore, we cannot sit there saying that all religions are good because the polytheists and the followers of other religions all believe in one God too. It doesn't matter what we think, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا. These are the real disbelievers. These are the real disbelievers. All those people. There are different ways that people disbelieve. One way that people do kufr is when they don't even believe in Allah. A second way people disbelieve is when they say that they believe in Allah, but not His messengers. And another way is when people believe in some of His messengers, but not in others. They don't believe in some others. Like how the Jews believe in all the messengers besides Isa alayhi salam and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Christians believe in all the messengers, including Musa alayhi salam, but they don't believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When people believe in some of the messengers and reject some others, they are basically rejecting all of them, because every single messenger was sent with the same message. They brought the same message from Allah for mankind. And when people reject one of the messengers, they reject them all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those people are real disbelievers. Also, there are some people who say that they believe in the Quran, but they don't believe in hadith. Besides the ahadith that makes sense to them. And they claim to be Muslims. They claim to be Muslims, but they deny the hadith, besides the few that make sense to them. But they should remember that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the one who recited the Quran to people. Right? He was the one the Quran was revealed to. And he taught people the Quran exactly as it was revealed. He recited it to them. He didn't change anything that was sent to him through the angel. So why would he not have conveyed the messages he was told to give in hadith accurately? So of course the hadith is accurate too. If anyone doubts the hadith, they should keep in mind that the Quran was also revealed to him. So the hadith are his words, and they are the truth too. After him, the Sahaba, his beloved companions, narrated the hadith. And then the Tabi'een and the Tabba Tabi'een and people after them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually predicted that there would be a time when a man would be sitting back telling people to believe in the Quran and rejecting the hadith. He would tell people to do that, to believe in the Quran and reject the hadith. And this is happening now. People like that are munkirine hadith. They deny the hadith, and they are a great trial for others around them. That is jahra bisu. Their belief is jahra bisu. But we have to warn others clearly. That's why we're talking about it. Because they are infiltrating our youth. They are working on conditioning the young people among the Muslims to reject the ahadith. And if a person does not believe the hadith, there is no way that they can understand the Quran. The Quran is interpreted according to hadith. So anyone who does not believe the hadith is basically interpreting the ayat of the Quran their own way, saying whatever they feel like saying. Astaghfirullah. So the only way we can understand the Quran is through the Quran itself, from other parts of it, or through the Hadith. Okay, so we understand the Quran from other parts of the Quran and the Hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and all our offspring from the mischief of those who reject the Ahadith. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. And we have prepared for such disbelievers a humiliating punishment. Even if it's people who claim to be Muslims, but they reject the Hadith or any of the messengers of Allah, they are kafirs, according to Allah. In the eyes of Allah, they are disbelievers. This was the problems the Jews had, and also the polytheists back in the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if people disregard the Hadith now, and they reject it, they basically reject Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam being sent as the Prophet. And Allah protected the Hadith for us, just like He did with the Quran. If Allah only wanted to send the Quran down, He didn't need a Rasul. But He sent a messenger who would recite it to people, explain it, and help people purify their nafs. People were taught how to apply what they learned from the Quran in life through the example of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through his sunnah. There will be no more messengers sent to guide mankind. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the last messenger of Allah, and that's why it was important to preserve the Hadith, his statement, and everything he said has been preserved for us and the future Muslims. So we should be careful and tell others to be careful too. So people cannot misguide us when they say that there's no need to believe the Hadith, or that it's not authentic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved the statements and the way of life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So people can continue to follow his beautiful example till the day of judgment. We have to learn about this ourselves, and we have to educate others. And we should remember these points when people try to reject the Hadith, so we can defend it when they try to argue against the Hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah that there is a disgraceful punishment for the disbelievers. The punishment the believers go through in Jahannam will be to purify them for their sins before they are admitted to Jannah. Okay, so they had read the Shahada, right? So the punishment will be just to purify them of those sins, so they can be pure before they're admitted to Jannah. But the punishment for the disbelievers will not be for purification from those sins. It will not be for purification. They will be admitted to the hellfire to be punished, to be humiliated for disbelieving, not for purification from their sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan kaseera. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.